make your way to the back prairie. You can either cut through the building, entering through the main entrance and walking straight across the lobby and out the back doors, or you can walk along the pathway to the right of the main entrance, going past the retention pond and curving around to the back of the building. Look for the spot where two pathways meet under the shade of the big oak tree. Restart the audio tour once you get there. You've arrived at the Bricked Pocket Prairie. Imagine the Will Rogers Memorial Center across the street being replaced by the endless prairie of 200 years ago, and listen. Can you hear them? Can you feel them? American bison once covered this region in herds so large they blackened the prairie as far as eyes could see. Wherever bison walked, they changed the physical landscape. Their grazing reduced leaf litter and stimulated plant growth. They turned the earth with their hooves, pressing seeds into the ground. Bison wallows created ponds for other animals, and their droppings fertilized the soil. In the mid-1800s, the great herds numbered more than 30 million animals. But settlers, with modern weaponry and hide processing technology, hunted too many animals too fast. And the U.S. government slaughtered many bison in an organized effort to destroy the livelihood of Plains Indians. In just a few short decades, the species almost went extinct. Today, through conservation efforts, bison once again live in all 50 states, mostly in zoos and preserves. We even have some right here in town that you can see at the Fort Worth Nature Center. The bison legacy still looms large over the prairie, as their presence meant survival for native peoples throughout most of North America. Tatanka, the Lakota name for large beast, provided meat, clothing, bone for tools, hides for shelters, and for almost every need of the peoples of the plains. Hunters would stalk a bison while camouflaged under a wolf hide, or startle a small herd and drive it off a cliff or into a canyon with noise or fire. Yes, fire, deliberately set by humans or by lightning. Lightning is important for prairie maintenance. Native Americans understood that if an area burned, animals would return for the fresh new growth of tender grasses. Dead plant material would burn away, making room for new sprouts without the clutter of last year's dead leaves. In addition to bison, there once was another important animal who helped maintain the prairie ecosystem. This small mammal also once numbered in the millions. You'd know if you walked close to any of their miles of burrows, as you would hear, that's the alarm call of a black-tailed prairie dog, a type of burrowing ground squirrel named for its barking cry. Wherever bison heavily grazed an area, they left behind an excellent habitat for prairie dogs. Prairie dogs, in turn, are the primary food source for many raptors and carnivores, and the elaborate tunnel systems they dig provide shelter to other animals, from snakes to birds to mammals. Prairie dogs also prune back vegetation around their burrows in order to spot predators from a distance. They're America's meerkats. Small colonies can still be found nearby at the Fort Worth Nature Center and other protected areas. That's the all-clear call from the edge of a prairie dog town. So let's explore the grasses and other plants ahead on the path. What may look like tall weeds from a passing car is so much more. Step off the gravel walkway and into the prairie. Wander through the mowed pathways. What you see is the tiniest snippet of the great ocean of grass of the Fort Worth Prairie that once covered this region from Mexico to Canada. Waving in the gentle breezes in this tiny pocket prairie are annual and perennial grasses, as well as native wildflowers and forbs nestled among them. Because we have no bison for grazing or wildfire for burning, we manage this prairie with mowing. If we didn't do anything to it at all, the grasses would choke out the wildflowers. Then the woody plants, such as trees and shrubs, would grow big, crowding out the grasses and turning this prairie into a thicket or forest. Glance back at the building. Now look down at your feet. An enormous and interlocking network of roots below you safeguards the soil against erosion. Some of these roots grow as deep as 25 feet below the surface. That's the height from the ground up to the railing on our decks. This deep, intricate root system allows the plants to survive the temperature extremes of winter and summer, blizzards and drought. When the plants above ground look dead and gone, many of those roots are still alive, waiting out the harshest part of the summer and winter seasons, ready to green back up after the return of rains and mild temperatures. Lawn grasses you might see at home don't typically have roots this deep, so more water is required to keep them alive. If you're tired of watering your lawn, try replacing some of it with deep-rooted native grasses instead. Depending on the time of year, Britt's Prairie may include a kaleidoscope of colors of the many native wildflowers of the prairie. Red and orange firewheels, yellow coneflowers, horse mint with its purple pagodas, and of course, our beloved state wildflower, the Texas bluebonnet. Most of these wildflowers are noticeable from late winter through early summer. How many different flowering plants do you see? Once the heat of summer kicks in, the grasses get tall and begin to take over, with their subtle variations of shading and seed heads. Some seed heads look like fuzzy eyebrows, some like fireworks explosions, and some like an artist's paintbrush. What shapes do you see? If you see a medium-height grass with a long, straight stem of seed heads all dangling off to one side, congratulations! You found the official state grass of Texas, Sideoats Grandma. Now look for a tall grass with a white stripe down the middle of each leaf. This is Johnson grass and can be seen along roadsides throughout the country. Johnson grass grows on every continent except Antarctica, but in North America, it's a weed or a pest, names we use for a plant growing where we don't want it. We don't want it in this prairie because it is a fierce competitor and crowds out native plants, taking over the entire area. Would you rather see lots of different grasses and wildflowers in a prairie like this, or a sea of just one type of grass and nothing else? Which one would have more birds and insects visiting it? Before you go, take one last look around at the pocket prairie. Think of the bison, the native peoples, the prairie dogs, the torrential spring rainstorms, the shimmering summer heat. The voices of a once vast prairie ecosystem still echo in the heart of this land. Can you hear them?